Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, reading from verse 14. And it is especially verse 15 that we would, with the Lord's help, consider. Reading from verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, again, we come to this part of God's word where Paul the Apostle, writing by inspiration, directs us to put on the whole armor of God. Not man's armor, but God's armor. And not just some of the armor of God, but all the armor. Put on the whole armor of God. We need all that God is making available to us because we are poor and needy. And we have a great foe to contend with. We are to resist the enemy, resist and stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan has many tactics, many devices, and we need skill to combat this wily foe. We need, in fact, readiness to fight. And it is the gospel of peace that gives us that readiness to fight. That is this preparation, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, what does it mean to be shod? The children here, what is it to be shod? It's to have shoes on your feet. And we need the shoes that the gospel provides in order to give us readiness to fight the Lord's battles. And your feet shod, or having shoes on your feet, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we need preparation, we need readiness to fight against Satan. And what gives us that readiness? It is the gospel of peace. What is the gospel? What does the gospel mean? The gospel means good news. And what is the good news? It is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if we felt our sins as we ought to, if we were burdened with a sense of guilt, hearing about Jesus coming into the world to save sinners would be good news indeed. How joyful we ought to be, and we will be if we are taught by the Spirit that Christ came into this world of sorrow, this curse-stricken world, in order to seek and to save that which was lost, to save sinners like you and me. That is good news. And this good news brings peace. It is called the gospel of peace. It brings peace because between us and God by nature there is no peace. There is disharmony. There is wrath between us and God. God's fierce wrath upon us for our sins. And the gospel alone brings peace between God and man. And that is good news, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So that is the peace of reconciliation, God reconciling sinners to himself through Christ and his finished work, his obedience and death. And so the gospel brings peace. The gospel gives us, therefore, readiness to fight in the Lord's battles. It gives us alacrity or promptness. We are prompt to respond with a cheerful readiness to go forward in the conflict against Satan and all spiritual foes. And so, isn't this what we need? If we feel at all weary in the battle, we need this part of the armor that God gives us to have the shoes or the sandals that soldiers wore in those days, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And with the Lord's help, we will consider, first of all, the need for preparation for the battle by having the feet shod, the need for preparation, and secondly, the gospel of peace, which gives that preparation for the spiritual warfare. The gospel of peace, which gives preparation. So first, the need for preparation, and secondly, the gospel of peace. The need for preparation for battle. Well, when we think about the armor that the Roman soldiers wore, and perhaps as Paul was in prison, he noticed the Roman guards and Roman soldiers there in Rome going around the palace and around the guard and the prison. He would see the armor that they wore, the helmet, the breastplate, the girdle, the shoes, the sandals that they wore. And these shoes or sandals that the Roman soldiers wore were very important. The soles of these sandals were studded with hobnails or things like cleats on the soles of the feet to give them better grip upon the terrain that they traveled upon. And they would therefore be able to travel with ease, whatever the tract before them. Whether it was rocky or smooth, it made no difference because they had protection. They were able to travel comfortably, even peacefully, because they were shod. Their feet were shod with these special sandals for warfare. In the fight, they would need firm footing, lest they be slipping in the sand or the mud or whatever it would be. They needed the proper gear so that they would be prepared for whatever confronted them. If they traveled over rocky surfaces without the shoes or sandals, their feet would be injured. They would be dashed, and they would therefore not move very quickly if they were not properly equipped. They would not be properly prepared. And they would move very slowly and be likely to be pushed back when they confronted the enemy. And think of that. Think of soldiers on the battlefield ill-prepared. Soldiers that are just not ready to fight. Astonishing. When you think of soldiers, you think of people who are ready. They've been trained. They're equipped. As soon as the trumpet sounds, they stand up, they are ready to go, ready to meet the enemy. Because, of course, you know they have drill after drill, and they're therefore prepared. They are supplied well from their general, and they have the proper armor, the proper equipment. And that is what we need. If we are soldiers in the Lord's battle, well, he is the captain of our salvation. He is the Lord of hosts. We are in his army, enlisted under his banner, and we are therefore soldiers, and we should be ready to fight. Therefore, we need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the word of God is full of exhortations to be ready, to be prepared. And servants, or ministers, are to be prepared for every good work. The apostle says in one place, but all the Lord's people are to be prepared for whatever the Lord Jesus Christ brings before them in providence. He tells all those who would be Christians, all those who would be saved, that they are to come after him. He says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. We're to be ready daily to deny ourselves. Whatever God and his providence brings into our lives, we should be ready for it. Ready to meet persecution, ready to face obstacles, ready to go through trials, readiness, preparedness. Jesus says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning." You don't know when it will be, that's why you have to be ready, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Of course, soldiers on the battlefield, of all people, should be watching. They should be ready, lest the enemy pounce and take them by surprise. They're to be ready. So you see how important it is to be prepared. And when you think of a battlefield, anything can happen. Expect the unexpected. The battle plans have been written up. The generals have met together. They have their strategy. But of course, as you often hear, as soon as the battle begins, the plans go out the window. It's time to act, and you have to be prepared to make sudden changes in the battle plans. So the enemy may try a totally different tactic from what you were expecting. That's why you have to be prepared for the unexpected, to always be, as it were, flexible, but not flexible when it comes to the overall stand. We have to be always firm in our opposition to evil, but flexible in the way we go forward, because we may be prepared for this kind of tactic from Satan, but he may throw another tactic at us. We were considering 25 different tactics that Satan uses. And you say, rightly so, I can't keep up with it all. Well, probably not. But God gives you the armor that you'll be ready. And you need your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Someone writes, "The Christian warrior must move as the battle shifts. His career is indeed but a battle and a march, and a march and a battle. Going forward, not retreating, going forward, marching. Now you stop, the enemy's there, fight. The enemy has suddenly retreated, keep marching. Now the enemy appears to your right, attack there. Now it's to the left, attack there. You have to go forward. You need your feet shod, prepared, ready to fight. And the point is, without Christ, we are not prepared. We cannot meet Satan without the armor of God. And we said on the outset that the armor of God is Christ and his grace. We need Christ and his grace. And the only way that we can meet the foe and overcome is by taking to ourselves the whole armor of God, including having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Satan is ready to tempt us. He is the tempter and the tormentor. He draws us into sin, and when we have sinned, he accuses us for our sin. And he will tell us, well, you have sinned. You cannot have peace. You're in a hopeless case because you have tried, but you see your trying is getting you nowhere. You thought you could have fellowship with God. You thought it was a wonderful thing to have fellowship with the Father and the Son. But look, you have failed already. You have sinned. So much for your fellowship. You thought you were a child of God, but look, you have sinned. So much for thinking yourself a child of God. But the gospel is the answer, and the gospel gives peace. The gospel gives us readiness to respond to anything that comes our way. The gospel gives us peace and stability and preparedness, a readiness to respond to any attack. But if we don't have the shoes that the gospel gives us, then we're still liable to Satan's torments and his taunts. He will ask us, where is your joy? Where is your peace? You have offended God. You can't expect to be blessed now. But the gospel is the answer. And you see, the point is just now, the need to be prepared. Satan will harass. Satan will tempt. He will torment. And we have to combat his wiles. But if we are not looking to Jesus and not equipped with his grace, if we're doubting whether our sins are forgiven, what is the real basis of forgiveness, then we're not ready. If we're constantly fluctuating, going back and forth in our minds about whether my sins are forgiven or not, then we're unstable. We're not equipped. We are weakened. And even our walk, our steps, are slipping, and our walk is unsteady. Frankly, we are out of shape. And so we're pointing you to the need of the gospel of peace. Again, if we are not looking to Christ, then we're not ready to fight, we're not ready to perform, we're not ready for trials, we're not ready to do our duties. The captain of our salvation directs us to go to a certain place or perform a certain duty, and the soldier who is not prepared says, well, I don't know if I'm ready. Well, I don't know if I can do that. But the gospel gives us a readiness. The gospel gives us a cheerful readiness, and that is alacrity. And I'm going to use that word tonight, alacrity, which simply means promptness in response, cheerful readiness to comply with the command. That is alacrity, and that's what we need. The alacrity that the gospel gives us, the gospel of peace. Because an unready Christian is not ready to meet death. He is not ready, she is not ready to meet God. Satan will take advantage of that unpreparedness, ill-preparedness. You cannot meet God as you are. And without looking firmly to Jesus, what kind of answer will you give to Satan? Satan will say, God is your enemy. And if you're not firmly depending upon the grace of God in Christ, well, what can you say? I don't know if I'm reconciled to God or not. I haven't made my peace with God. Is there a soul here tonight who hasn't made their peace with God? I'm not saying you can make peace, but on the other hand, that is what God says. Let him take hold of my strength and make peace with me. Of course, it's by looking to him who has made peace. But if you're not looking to him, there is no peace. If you're not trusting in Jesus, you are not prepared for death, because God is still your enemy. And you need the peace that the gospel gives. The peace that the gospel gives. And that brings us to the second point. The gospel of peace gives preparation for battle. Preparation for all things, but especially, as in our context, preparation for the spiritual warfare. Yes, it is the gospel which is good news. And the good news, of course, is Christ, who came to save sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is good news to a poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, conscious that he or she is an object of God's wrath and deserves to perish in hell, and is asking, what must I do to be saved? How can man be just with God? How can I be accepted with God in all my wretchedness and all my unloveliness? How can I be reconciled to God? How can I have peace with God? The good news: Jesus died on the cross for sinners, and all who believe in him are saved. No, God did not leave all mankind to perish in that state of sin and misery, but God, having out of his mere good pleasure from all eternity elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery, and to bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer, to be redeemed, to be bought back, to be saved by the blood of Christ as payment to divine justice, to be delivered from that lost and ruined condition, to be saved from sinking down and going down into a lost eternity, to be saved from the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Isn't that what you long for, friend? Are you here today feeling burdened with guilt? There is hope. There's good news. It's being proclaimed to you. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, a Savior. That was what John witnessed to, the fact that Christ came. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, and we have seen. Remember, John was a witness. We have handled the word of life. We have seen him, we have heard him, we've even touched him. We know what we are telling you is the truth because we have seen and heard with our own eyes and ears. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Isn't that good tidings, good news? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Not that he would save everyone who ever lived in the world, but still the world, mankind, sinners, the lost race of Adam is not lost any longer because God has saved mankind, sinners. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Well, that is the good news, and this is what brings peace, because God, through the work of Christ, reconciled sinners to himself. They were at enmity against God, and God was angry with them, but God reconciled sinners to himself by Jesus Christ. This is grace. This is unmerited favor. And it is interesting how Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 5 speaks of this: being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, through the work he performed at Calvary, dying for the sins of his people. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And then he goes on to say, by whom, that is, by the Lord Jesus Christ, also we have access by faith. And that's what we pointed out on Sabbath evening. We have fellowship with God. We have access to that fellowship by Christ, access by faith into this grace. And then he says, this grace wherein we stand. We stand in this grace. We have a firm footing. I wonder what that firm footing is. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are given firm footing because the gospel gives it. The gospel gives us security. We are not saved one day and then lost the next day. When we by grace trust in Christ for salvation, we are reconciled to God. We are justified by the blood of Christ. We have peace. And Paul says, this is the grace wherein we stand. And so it is the gospel that gives us to stand firmly, because it gives us that covering upon our feet to stand, and whatever we meet with in the path of duty, our feet are protected. There's no fear of injury. And whatever we meet with on the way, we are ready with alacrity to cheerfully respond to any call that the captain gives us to go forward in the march and in the battle, in the spiritual conflict. Yes, again, we're supposed to be ready. Just like the Jews on that night when the destroying angel would pass through the camp or the villages of the Egyptians and would smite the firstborn. But the Jews, on the other hand, the Israelites, they were ready because they had the Passover. The Passover lamb was slain, the blood was sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintel, and they ate the Passover, we read, with their loins girded and their shoes on their feet. They were ready to go that night, and they did, or that morning anyway. They were directed to leave Egypt. And so we, if we are Christians, are being directed to leave Egypt, to come out from among the world, as we heard in the prayer, and be separate. And how, friend, are you going to leave the world and be separate without being prepared? You need your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that peace is through Christ. That peace is through his blood. And we know that we are sinners, but we are to confess our sins and acknowledge our failings. We are to walk in the light, yes. In order to have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. But the light shines upon everything, including our sins. And so the light shining upon our sins, what is our response? Someone says, well, I'll try to be like Achan and just cover it up and bury it up and pretend it's not there. No, you're found out instantly. The only proper course, and this is what the heart of the child of God will do, is to confess with blushing, yes, but also with boldness, pleading the merits of Christ, trusting in the blood of Jesus. And all that is to give us readiness to go forward, because we're to serve God. And you say, how can I serve God as a guilty sinner? My guilt weighing me down. As we considered not too long ago, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You are purged to serve. You are purged to serve. He cleanses your conscience to give you a readiness to serve him, a readiness to go forward. Yes, you have sinned. Yes, you have failed. But the blood of Christ washes away our sins and gives us a readiness to cheerfully respond to any call that the captain gives us to go forward. Whatever self-denial, whatever trial, whatever we may face, the gospel of peace gives us that alacrity, that readiness to cheerfully respond, promptitude, with promptness as a soldier, on your feet, go forward, march. The enemy is around the corner. You have drilled long enough. It's time to face him. Go forward in the battle and fight, because you have this peace. And think of that, peace. Even while the battle is raging, there's peace. Still you have peace, because he is your hiding place. And by faith, you look upward to Jesus. All is serene and safe in heaven, where your true treasure is. safe. He is there, and he is watching. He's more ready than you are for everything that comes your way, to give you that grace, to help you go forward in the fight. And as Gernal puts it, what need to worry and be so afraid, though the path before you is so strewn with sharp rocks, when you have between your feet and the path the shoes to protect you. And that is the gospel of peace. He gives you peace. So no matter what kind of harm may surround you, you are insulated. You have the protection. It's peace. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou only makest me dwell in safety. Yes, I may be afraid of fires. I may be afraid of lightning. I may be afraid of war, literal war. I should be more afraid of spiritual conflicts. But whatever the danger is, it is God who keeps us safe. It is Christ who has given us that peace. Peace through the blood of his cross. Peace through the blood of his cross, so that whatever we may face, we may be like David, who said, "The Lord is on my side. I'm reconciled to him. He's with me. He's on my side. What can man do unto me? Christ died for my sins. I'm reconciled to God. There is peace between me and God. I don't need to be afraid." And so, like the psalmist says in another place, "My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed." Again, Psalm 112, verse 7, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings." Whatever bad news comes, no need to be afraid. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Psalm 112, verse 7 and 8. You know, the children, when they begin to run their race, they say, "On your mark, get set. Get ready, get set, go." They're ready. They're set. And so, with the spiritual race and the spiritual warfare, we are ready. We are set. Our heart is fixed, established. And so we may meet death itself, as well as Satan, prepared to meet our God. Are you prepared, friend, tonight? If you would die in your sleep tonight, where would you be? You have heard the gospel, and the gospel offers you peace through the blood of Jesus, so that Paul says, "He is our peace." He is our peace. Is he your peace? Go to him, that you might have peace with God. May he bless his word. Let us pray.